From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for February 1st, 2019. If you need a taste of spring, pitchers and catchers report to the Brewers spring training in Arizona in 12 days. That should warm you up. The Bucks host the Brooklyn Nets on Monday night at the Forum, and John Mellencamp is at the Riverside 1 week from today. Well, we've got lots of silliness for today, so let's get started. Recently, Florida State University announced that freshmen could skip a mandatory stress reduction class if they felt it would be too stressful. Really? Well, here's an answer to an unasked question. Scientists swallowed Legos on purpose to figure out how long it takes them to pass through your system. And because I thought you want to know, the answer is 1.7 days. It sounds just as painful as stepping on them in your bare feet. Al-Shabaab, a terrorist group in Somalia, banned plastic bags because they're, and I quote, a serious threat to the well-being of humans. Apparently, they're unfamiliar with the concept of irony. And finally, a woman in Turkey gave her husband an ultimatum. It's me or the dog, she said. Well, he chose the dog. In the studio today, we have Steve Giles, Adam Bailey, Joel Dreesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Kyle Tedding.
Thank you, Jason. Despite a major snowstorm this week and record colds in the Midwest, stocks extended gains, putting a cap on the best January in 30 years for the S&P 500. All this despite a government shutdown that nearly spanned the month and those record colds that shut down entire parts of the country for half the week. The Fed's midweek promise of patience in monetary decision-making helped give investors confidence by casting further doubts on the potential for any rate increases and allowed stocks to rally midweek. Finally, a large number of earnings releases this week did little to raise doubts about the current state of corporate profitability, allowing stocks to finish the week higher. For the week, the NASDAQ finished the week up 1.4%, closing today at 72.64. The S&P 500 up 1.6% for the week to close the week at 2,707. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 1.3%, closing today at 25,064. The 10-year Treasury moved a little bit lower this week on the Fed's announcement, closing today at 2.69%. And that's a look at the week. I think to get started here in the open, talking about what was the best January in 30 years, but came quickly on the heels of what had been the worst December since 1931. And I think, you know, you put those two together, that's a pretty big shock for investors. The word volatility is, I think, often thrown around pretty loosely, but to go from that big of a decline to that big of a gain certainly constitutes volatility. And so, you know, Adam, Steve, I'd love for both of you to weigh in on this, but how are you talking to clients about kind of how to view these two things together?
Well, I think the last 2 months really have taught investors patience, or at least reminded investors patience, because you had the worst December in 87 years, only to be followed up by the best January since 87. So I think it causes investors to just have patience and remind that their asset allocation does get them through this and their balance does get them through this. And I don't think I got a single complaint in December about somebody's bond funds at all. Bonds had their day in the sun. It gave you just the wherewithal to hold on, to give your stocks a chance to recover. And lo and behold, interest rates and earnings. We got a lot of earnings out this week, and that's what lifted stock prices. It really has.
Yeah, that's a great point, Adam. The other thing that I would add to that, of course, would be that it's very difficult to time the market. And after having lived through the last couple of months with the market swinging up and down and all the increased volatility, for those investors out there that think they can try to time the market, it's not about market timing. It's about time in the market.
Well, and Steve, I think that's such an important point. You know, this kind of theme I've been on now for the better part of the last couple of months has been this idea of building something in terms of your investment portfolio that you can live with that isn't going to lead to regret. And so, you know, I think one of the things that causes you to want to try to time the market is having an allocation that you're just not comfortable with. And so, you know, for investors who maybe felt December a little bit harder than they wanted to, but held off on making any real moves, you know, a little bit of a recovery gives you some room now to say, okay, December was more than I wanted to deal with. Maybe there is some room to back off in terms of my allocation to get back to a place where I'm a little bit more comfortable. But, of course, the other side of that is if you didn't really care all that much about December and now you're regretting maybe not participating as much as you could have in the upside, you know, there might be room for you to move back the other way. Valuations haven't moved in so far that there's not opportunity out there anymore. So I think something for investors to keep in mind. I think the one thing from December that was maybe most disconcerting to me was the fact that growth stocks had kind of surrendered some of the leadership in the market. The fact that the more defensive names, utility stocks, consumer defensive names had taken over. And what we've seen so far in January is, I think, a market that's far more broad in terms of participation to the upside. It's not just those FANG stocks. It's not just technology names. In fact, technology probably one of the more middle-of-the-road sectors in January. So, you know, again, Steve Adam, love to hear maybe your thoughts on why broad participation is a little bit more important than just seeing a couple of stocks leading.
Well, you want to see all areas of the market participate and drive the market higher. You really don't want to see it narrow or leadership narrow. That's usually one of those signs where you're close to the end of a bull market. And, you know, so far year to date, we've had a lot of gains across the spectrum. You know, Dow transports or industrials, technology, energy. So you do have broad leadership. And it's really been on the heels of earnings. And, you know, not that we get to say this on a day-to-day basis where moment-to-moment or hour-to-hour, stocks don't always trade on fundamentals. A lot of times they just trade on emotions and sentiment. That wasn't the case this week. And I think long-term investors can really, I guess, rally around the trading tape, if you will. It was driven by the earnings report that came out this week. You know, Facebook or Boeing or General Electric or so many others, they were either rewarded or punished sometimes for beating or underperforming their estimates. And that's really what drove this week's action.
And, of course, I think you throw in the Fed as part of the thing that's driven, you know, stocks this week. Obviously, earnings and interest rates, the two big pieces. Of course, can't forget to mention the piece that Brian Kilb mentioned at our seminar about valuations. And maybe we get there, but I think, you know, looking at the Fed this week and the Fed finally recognizing what I think the rest of the market already knew, which is that there's very little chance they're going to be able to move much this year in terms of the overnight lending rate. You know, you look at the futures market with the CBOE, they had priced in even the potential maybe for a move back down in the overnight lending rate. And so as you talk about fundamentals, Adam, as you talk about kind of the things that drive stock prices, you know, that certainly gave some clarity for investors as far as the direction that things might be headed. I mean, I wonder, you know, kind of now hearing it from the Fed directly, does that change, you know, anything that we're doing for investors? Does it kind of change our view of either fixed income or stocks more broadly?
Well, I'll get back to the Fed, and they are starting to come back in line, I think, with what the market had expected all along, perhaps even what they expected. You look at their long-run projection for GDP, their long-run projection is at 1.9%. We're at about 3, so we're there. Unemployment rate, their long-run projection is at 4.4. We're at 4, a little better. Long-run projection for inflation is 2, and we're essentially at 2. So what we've met the end goal, so I think it's to be expected that the Fed is just on hold here, and we're kind of at that neutral point where it's not really inflationary nor deflationary where they are in the interest rates.
Well, another point too, Adam, is that the Fed is paying attention to what's going on overseas. And I think they're recognizing that Europe is in a slowdown, China is slowing down, Japan is slowing down. And so they're taking that into consideration with this pause on rates.
You know, and I really appreciate seeing that because their mandate is for stable jobs here in the United States and stable prices here in the United States. But they acknowledge we're not in a vacuum or a bubble, and we impact the rest of the world. And I appreciate that they're just acknowledging that.
Well, and a lot of this recovery here that we've seen so far in January, to your point earlier, Kyle, that this has been the best January in 30 years. A lot of those issues and concerns that investors had last year that drove up all this volatility, Bob has talked consistently about problems we can solve and problems we can't solve. And to the degree that trade and tariffs was this issue of concern. Nobody knew when we would be out of tariffs. Of course, you add to the Fed, you add to that the Fed and when they would be done raising rates. Both of those issues, when we're going to be done with tariffs and when is the Fed going to be done raising rates, are solvable problems. And to the degree that the Fed is now saying, hey, we may be done raising rates, or at least we're going to take a pause for a while, that, of course, addresses one of those issues. And now that talks with China are back on the table this month, I think has been encouraging for investors to remove some of those clouds that have been over the markets for the last couple of quarters.
Steve, I was going to mention that in our newsletter, which goes out this afternoon for those who subscribe, Bob writes exactly about that, about the solvable problems that are affecting stocks right now. And it's actually, you know, pretty optimistic when you think about that if you've got a problem, that it's something you can solve, that it's not something that's totally out of control. I mean, there are things out there that are out of control. But, you know, those two problems that you mentioned, those are things that can be solved right now.
You know, and I think, Joel, maybe the one thing that is a little bit out of at least our direct control is the potential, as Steve mentioned, for that global slowdown, that economic growth is likely to slow from here. That doesn't mean we enter recession. It's certainly not immediately into recession. It doesn't mean that growth has to, you know, fall significantly. It just means that we probably glide back down to a more typical growth rate for the world. And so, you know, I think that's reflected in earnings expectations for this year. Adam, you talked quite a bit about kind of what's happened in the fourth quarter and how well companies have been rewarded for that. I think the one thing to pay attention to is that our earnings expectations for 2019 now have backed off a little bit because, as you know, Steve, you mentioned that global growth slowdown that continues to maybe hang out there and some uncertainty around that. But the good news is stocks, even considering that growth isn't going to be 20% this year like it was last year, but it might be 5%, stocks still look reasonably priced, if not a little bit cheap. And so I think investors can hang their hat on that.
And that and the expectations really aren't out of whack. I mean, the expectations aren't for just some rosy environment. You take a look at what earnings expectations are for all of 2019 for the S&P 500. Give or take around 6% earnings growth, 5% revenue growth. So it's not like we're expected to shoot the lights out on this one. I think it's very modest expectations from this point. You know, those earnings are expected to materialize mostly in the fourth quarter, not necessarily in the first, second, or third. So I think you just got to pay attention and take a look at what's going to be coming fourth quarter.
Yeah, quite candidly, first quarter looks like it could be flat, and I don't think investors should be surprised if we see a negative number for the quarter. It certainly wouldn't be out of the ordinary to get a temporary pause in earnings growth. And, you know, much of the underlying cause for that is just simply how great 2018 was. It's real difficult for, you know, things to grow to the moon when, you know, you've got to take a pause every once in a while to let things catch up. So, Joel, maybe a good chance to go over some of the economic data this week. Obviously, a much bigger list of things to talk about with the government back open for business. Anything in particular catch your eye?
Well, one of the parts of the government that wasn't shut down was the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and of course they came out with their monthly jobs report today, and that was big. That was it had some positive numbers in it. It beat expectations as far as the number of jobs that were added in January. A couple of things are important to look at. The year-to-year increase in average hourly earnings went up 3.2%. And I always say you don't put a lot of stock in one month's report, but that's the fourth month in a row now that wages have gone up by 3% or more on an annual basis, and that hasn't happened for a decade now. So that's encouraging because we're starting to see some momentum building as far as wages. Wages empower consumers to spend more money, and two-thirds of our economy is based on consumer spending.
And as economists, one of like my top favorite things to see ever is wages rising faster than inflation. Something we haven't been able to say much over the last two decades, but we're able to say that now.
That's right, yeah.
Well, and ultimately, wage growth can or should probably translate to inflationary pressures, and maybe that would allow the Fed to finally unpause at some point in time if it makes its way. And yet, we also saw some data on consumer confidence, consumer sentiment, maybe not quite as rosy as the wage data suggests.
Right, yeah, and that's the other end of it is you know, if consumers are feeling empowered with as far as their wages are concerned. If they're not feeling all that good about parting with their money, that's another matter. And the conference board came out with their report on consumer confidence, and today the University of Michigan came out with consumer sentiment numbers, and both of them are a little weaker. The consumer sentiment numbers from University of Michigan in particular pointed out that a lot of consumers are a little more skittish, even though the partial government shutdown is over for now. Consumers are kind of wondering what's going on and you know, whether something like that might be, you know, lurking out on the horizon. So, that's something to watch. But otherwise, I mean, most of the numbers that we're getting are numbers that we've been seeing for a while. Housing, you know, probably reached its peak in late 2017. So it's still growing, but it's not going great guns anymore. And, labor's doing great. Which is good. We had ISM manufacturing index numbers today. Manufacturing still looks, you know, pretty strong. So it's more growth. It's not as robust as it was a year ago, but it's still going.
And, you know, I think the takeaway from all of that is that the economy continues on what's been a pretty solid path. Granted, not this, extremely high growth rate path, maybe a little bit higher the past couple of years than it maybe would otherwise have been. But, you know, you look at where we are today and nothing about that suggests an economy that's going to slow anytime soon. You know, the especially the employment picture, especially the wage growth picture, all that points to an economy that's got a little bit of life left here. And I think maybe the market reflects that finally. Maybe we're finally seeing some of the opportunity that really exists. And, you know, of course, the one challenge is there's still uncertainty out there. There's still things that can bring this down. And so it's just a strong reminder, I think, that you don't want to overreact one way or the other, because, you know, we can get December just as quickly as we can get January. This would, I think, normally be the time of the show when we'd be cheering for the Brewers or for the Packers or for the Bucks. But as the resident Marquette student here or alumni here, I'll put a plug in for the 10th rated Marquette Golden Eagles, and in particular Marcus Howard having a great year. So go Marquette this weekend, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.